Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon on a beautiful Sunday. You know what? First and foremost, you know what? Let's just bow our hearts because we have another incident. You know, it says wars and rumors of wars for us that believe in the kingdom that we build daily and serve daily. And it's not something that is new to us that know what the word tells us about the end days. Wars of rumors of wars, always, there's always confusion. There's always deception. And this is nothing new under the sun. So today, as we mourn more officers that were attacked on the Baton Rouge scenario in Louisiana. And it was crazy that we have copycats, people that are leaders, people that are followers, and people also that are reactionaries. And we've got to make sure that we're not a part of those that are reactionary, because whether it's good or bad, if you react to something and it's not right, then you know what? It's not right, no matter what you look at. So today, as we humbly take it upon ourselves to just say, you know what, let me stop and brighten the corner where I'm at. Let me do something positive. Let me try to join forces with people and help them to understand the struggle and help them to get over whatever it is that they're going through, so that they don't, you know, permeate this, that they just sit back and realize that, you know what, you can be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. This is what we do here on Gospel Jazz Connection each and every week. We bring in awareness. We bring in the best in music. We bring in the best in interviews. And today is no different. So I just wanted to state that fact to us, to where we just become mindful of those around us and make sure that we're positively reaching and impacting people, because you don't know where you may see them again. So with that being said, I'm not going to stand on the soapbox. I got a beautiful interview today by a great recording artist, actress, and the newest inductee of our famous Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm talking about none other than the great Shirley Caesar, Pastor Shirley Caesar. So she'll be joining us shortly. I'd like to also send our prayers up and just you guys help me in joining me in prayer with Miss Lady D, Dorian Edwards. She's in the hospital right now, and you know, she's under good doctor's care. So we wish you a speedy recovery, Lady D. We need you back out here, and we need you healthy. So with that being said, for the next hour, we're going to bring you the best in music and the best in interviews. So sit back, relax, and watch with your ears. You're listening to the Gospel Jazz Connection.
AVS Media, Dad.
Hi, this is Gerald Austin of the Manhattans, and I love listening to Gospel Jazz Connection with D. Nice and Miss M.
I don't mind though. Just glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I hope you're enjoying the show as much as I enjoy bringing it to you. We started at the top of the set with Take Five with Cooper Washington Jr., and we got to sometimes sit back and take five, followed by People Make the World Go Round, and that was brought to you by Richard Elliott. And then we got to really, guys, we got to pick up the pieces. That was by Candy Dolfer, and we just got through hearing Take These Shackles Off My Feet by Mary Mary. Now on the line, it's that we've been waiting for. Wow, I am so excited. Lady D, are you there?
I'm there, and so is Pastor Caesar.
Oh, yes.
Where? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let me start out by telling you, I mean, the resume is the who's who of all. I'm just sitting here through pages and pages. In fact, volumes would not be able to contain all the things that this lady of God has done. So let me start out by letting you know that Shirley Caesar is an American gospel music singer, songwriter, and recording artist whose career has spanned over six decades. A multi-award-winning artist with 11 Grammy Awards and 7 Dove Awards to her credits. She is known as the First Lady of Gospel Music, who began recording at the age of 12.
I think I have about 14 Doves.
Keeps going up as we go on, and we're going to bring her on in a second. It says Shirley's credits also include a series of commercials, numerous awards for recording. She has won or received major Grammys, Emmys, NAACP awards. I don't think I know of anything that she has not done. So, you know what? Let us step aside. And Pastor Caesar, what we do here on Gospel Jazz Connection, we don't do interviews. We just talk about the journey. And you know what? We have listeners all around the country that have just been hanging on just to hear you today. And I know God has given you a word. So let's start a journey anywhere you want to, because this is your time. This is your, you know, place. Well, anointed and appointed, God has given you here at this time for you to be that light to the world that's looking for light in all this crazy darkness. Up until last night, some more craziness is there. And it's not going to leave us until he comes back. But meantime, there's a light there to shine. So we're just going to take a journey with you, and you can just start out wherever you want to start, how you got started and everything else, where background. The mic belongs to, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Miss Pastor Shirley Caesar.
Thank you so much. I'm certainly glad to be a part of this radio ministry today. And I'm glad you said that it's not an interview, because I would like to say that things will get better. They're going to get far worse before they get better. And I know that because God still has a remnant in the world, a remnant of people that have made up their minds that they're not going to join in with the foolishness and the folly of this world. So, you know, I just know that things will get better, but it's got to get worse first because of Bible fulfillment.
So,
now that much more I can say.
Yes. This is your stage, please, by all means.
Okay, yeah, well, things will get better. I just want to reiterate that. In fact, I told my church that this morning, but because of the fact that our country has not been a Mr. Goody Two-Shoe, we have made some horrible mistakes to the black man, black-on-white crime, white-on-black crime, and black-on-black crime. We've made some horrible mistakes. And the Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, and whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, you know, I told them on the way to Bible study the other Wednesday night, I said, with all of this unjustness and this killing of our young black youth, I said, watch it now. All of a sudden now they're going to start killing the policemen. I said that on Wednesday night in the car. And the very next day we had this horrific thing to take place. And so, you know, we're living in the last days, my brother. And so you can expect anything to happen now. And it will. But things are going to get better. We just have to wait and see this through, see it out, and I promise you things will get better.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Now, you know, through all this one here, here's the light that's there that shines upon it, because it shows that you started out singing at a young age. Now, basically, from that, then that's where your career started. At what time did you just wake up one day and say, you know what, this is where my fulfillment is, to be a, I know to carry the words what you want to do, but you decided I want to be a gospel artist. At what time did you, and how did that come about?
I think that that took place so early in my life, like between 8 and 9 years old, because by the time I was 12, I was traveling and singing as Baby Shirley. And I traveled all over Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. And so I knew even then that the call of God was on my life to sing. And by the time I was 12, I'd already recorded my first CD. Well, my first record, they call them back then.
Right, right. Yeah, music has changed so much, and I like that. And you also were singing with quite a great plethora of people here, from Albertina Walker to James Cleveland, Dolores Washington with the Caravans. Man, you've done a lot out there. in that early days. Let's go back a little bit and talk about some of that, because the recording industry today is different. Just like when you said record, and the day they got these things called MP3s, and in a minute it'll probably be implanted in your brain with the iTunes and everything. But how was the recording industry records back in that day, as you look at it in retrospect to where it's at today? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, years ago when I started really recording, like with the Caravans, we would go in the studio and do a whole CD, a whole album, let me say that. And we didn't have all of this wonderful equipment. We, you know, no such thing as a synthesizer or any of that stuff. All we had was organ, piano, and drums. But it helped us to get from there to here. And now our orchestration is as good as R&B and any of the other genre of music that's out there.
Right. And you know what? I know it was a pushback. It's got to be a pushback, because as we look at back in the day when I say record labels were doing a lot more behind their artists. When you went in the studio, it was nothing that looked like even a projection of fluff or surrounding you by instruments. It was pure singing, like they say, singing, not singing. And it was a different in the talents. It was different in the culinating or culturing. And we see that now as a different. People just go online and write their music, put it up, and that's what it is. But the appreciation comes from where you would go into the studio and just sit back and put out a song. It was written, it was recorded, and that's what we had to deal with. And I'm telling you, I'm a guilty party. I've got like 2,000 albums. I like that sound of albums to this day, that popping, that crisp, that clear. It's just a difference. The singing is different. Everything about the music industry has gone through a great metamorphosis, but it's the shoulders of those that have preceded the musicians like yourself. We call you guys pure musicians, because when you got in the studio, you made the magic happen. And there's a lot of people walking in your footsteps to this day. I can name gospel artists and females today that all would have said, oh, one of my favorite, you know what I'm saying, that inspired me was Shirley Caesar. I've heard it too many times.
Yeah, but you know, the reason why it sounded so much pure back then was because, you know, our voices were younger and strong and things of that nature. And then, of course, we did have some technology, not like we have today. But I tell you, back then they should have straightened things out, because back then they had those great big tapes. They didn't have all of this good stuff that we have today. I saw them take this tape, and they took like an eraser and erased the stuff. Now, you know, they don't have to do all of that. I don't know. If I had to pick, choose, and refuse, I would certainly pick today's rather than yesterday's.
Right. I mean, they perfect it as they come along. It's not the same, but like I said, it gives you a whole different scope of the music, and it just basically can dissect it and just let you see the different layers that go on top of that. So that's a good thing. So now you went on to your own and started doing your solo career. We see that you then took off running with that one and won several awards after that. So at the first time you received your first Dove Award, was that, okay, I've arrived, or was it like, let me go back and do my own thing? How did that feel, and where did that take you from there, or any of the first awards you got?
Well, first let me say this. See, when the Lord called me out of the Caravans, I'd already been there 8 years. I stayed with the Caravans 8 years. I lived in Chicago 9 years. And one morning I woke up and something said, go home. And so I got up and I got a small U-Haul truck, because that's all I had accomplished in all of those years. I had one twin-size bed and a mattress. The headboard was brand new, but the mattress was like $25. I had some pots and pans and spoons, things like that, sheets and pillowcases. And I put that in a small U-Haul, and we pulled it home, came home. But, you know, I look back then, and I thank God, because even all of the imperfections of the music, nobody else was really doing it. And so as a result of that, the Lord blessed me to get all of those awards. And then others picked up the plow, and they started plowing down behind what I have done. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful.
Right. You just, that's good to be a navigator. Now let's creep back a little further, because you graduated from Shaw University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration. So for one thing, you had the business aspect, and that's a lot of things artists don't have today, is they can sing, but they don't have the business. You've got to have them both. And so we did that one. Then you went on to study at the Divinity School of Duke University and received the doctorate from that one. So now, not only did you have that recording arty experience, that pure singer there, but also you've got the business aspect of it, and then you went into the divinity aspect of it. So you were a gospel artist dealing with the churches. And we know the churches has metamorphed today, too, as we know it. So that whole transition, you went through several transitions all in one in different genres. So how was the church reception back then versus what they're doing today in the newer artists, like a Mary Mary or a Trinity 5-7 his today in the churches versus when you guys were hitting the church circuit with the caravans and on your own and other stuff? Talk about that for a second.
Well, you just explained it. We, you know, when the Lord called me out, all I knew was singing, because at that time I had not, had I gone back to school? No, I had not gone back and gotten my degree. And I've been taken advantage of out there. They had taken songs from us and tricked us into selling them for $25. They took our songs. They took the copyright of our songs. They took everything. And but then, as times got better, my. And I began to read. You see, I want to tell all my young people, read, honey, read, because if you don't, you know, you'll get to court trying to explain what, why, when, and where, and all of that. And they said, well, did you read the small print? You say no. And so this is how they get you. But now, see, they cannot pull that wool over my eye anymore. They did it for years.
Wow. No, today they still, that's good that you're talking to these young people, because they really don't know the real game. You had the advantage being able to know the business aspect of it. And no matter what they do, it's all about the business. You know, so everything now
that's
is a business.
It.
They even say the church is a business.
Yeah, but you know what? First, let me just say this, and it is. Please believe me, the church is a big business. But gospel music is the second largest music in the world now. We're bigger than jazz. We're bigger than classical music. We are bigger even than country. Gospel music is a world within itself. You've got to look at contemporary, and then you look at traditional gospel, and then you got to go from there, even a little reggae gospel music. We are big business, and so even though, you know I love the Lord and I love what I do, if I'm making my living from it, and the Bible said that I could and that I would, that I would live by this gospel. So you cannot afford to allow people to dictate to you. You've got to know your craft. You've got to know it. You've got to know it. When I look and I see Kirk Franklin, how that he has moved in and he has gotten his own thing from Sirius Radio, and Yolanda Adams, who was with what was that? The gospel station, the old gospel station, one. And it's a business. It is a business. And you got to not only treat it like a ministry, but you must look at it also as a business.
Yes, that's all. And like I said, as you saw the change in scenery, like I said, even there were, I mean, who would have thought, if you tell somebody today, try to go to some gospel artist and tell them that you're going to give them $25, they wouldn't even give you a letter on a piece of paper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let alone a song. Hey, let alone a song, you know. So we see that the travesty that was done to there, and even the acceptance of the music back then versus, you know, we as a gospel community have to look at it and say, why has gospel music not as propelled to the way and at the speed that any R&B or hip hop has done? Because gospel's been the root of everything in music.
Well,
somehow.
Understand, see, but look, all of that music came out of gospel. And
right.
So there are certain things that we refuse to do. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that we as a gospel artist refuse to do. And like me, I don't sing about the Lord in the third person. And I may be one of the only ones, or among the only ones, but I do not sing about him. You know, because if I'm a gospel singer, then I'm a gospel singer. So
right.
There are just some things, you know, that they'll do that we will not do.
That's right.
Right. And that bothered me when I first heard a couple of artists say that, you know, when you to do a song and put it out there on mainstream, a gospel song, and you use the word God or Jesus or whatever, they really don't want to touch it, really, let's be honest. But back when the music was the music of gospel, that was the root of what you guys, the message. And you weren't ashamed of the gospel and saying what it was as it was. And things seemed to be watered down. But the beat goes on, but the message somehow. So, you know, how's that?
Yeah, but now, you know,
go ahead.
Understand also that a lot of the managers and the owners of record companies and things, you know, they don't want their artists singing gospel because it seems like they say that seemingly that they are losing something, that they lose something when they sing gospel and then go back to R&B and things of that nature. But let me tell you something. Our music is going to live far longer than theirs will.
Yes. And I like what you said, the different fixtures, the different fixtures, depth, all the way from classical to country or what in gospel. I like that variance. It's needed.
Yes, because I'm telling you, man, gospel music speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, and plus the fact it brings hope. It speaks blessings over lives. It answers needs, problems, situations, and dilemmas. There are some songs that will bless your socks off, and I hope a lot of those are in my new CD. But what I do want to say is that it will do what R&B and all of that other stuff will not do.
Right.
In fact, that's one of the reasons why the country music is as popular as it is, because of the fact what happens is that they're able to sing about things that are happening and going on in their lives. You know, I recorded the song No Charge. That's a country song. And things like that happen in all of our lives. I recorded I Remember Mama. Things like that happens in our lives. And so whenever you can keep it real, when you can keep it real, then it's going to answer a lot of questions for people.
Yeah, and I was listening to some of the music on my Pandora. I just had a fun time going into it. They gave me the Shirley Caesar radio station. I had a little of everybody in there, and I was like, this was nice. But when I was listening to some of your songs, vocally as a songstress, but a storyteller. What got me is when I heard it says, "Don't drive your mama away from the miracle home." Oh, my. I sat back on that one there, and it just took me because you interwove such a creative scenario to where, you know what, I closed my eyes, and I was there. The whole scene, and it takes that special gift, that anointing that gives you that to go deep into it. And the story that unfolded there with the music and everything that only you could present it like that said, man, I said, this is a storytelling, line where it's going to carry and resonate with people. And that's what we need to walk away with when we hear music. And the music that you talk about, the pure music of the gospel, you can walk away with that and it changes your life. It changes your mindset, your heart, because it goes inside of you.
It goes right to the very inner sanctum of your soul and to your spiritual mentality because, it's answering a lot of questions that you may or may not have had.
Right.
Gospel music is, it has an anointing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it. Just like you said, the story is just like reading it out of a book. Yet, it seems just like you were there. You were there when that son says to the mama, "Mama, I don't live in a fine house. I don't drive a fine car. I don't eat the best of food. But if that's all right with you, come on and go home with me."
Mm-hmm.
Gospel music makes it vivid.
Yes.
It makes it so vivid until you can actually see what you're singing.
And then it threw me into Faded Rose. And when I heard that one off the 40 years and still sweeping through, when I heard that message that you gave there, I was like, wow, it just continued to feed. So when you open yourself up to that feeding and nurturing and you find somebody that can do it, you walk away fulfilled. Not everybody can do it. But you bought it, and when we open up and receive it, you're right there. Such an anointing, such a blessing, and that really, I'm telling you, all night long, that's what I did. I looked for everything, Shirley. That's what I did until about 7 o'clock this morning. I'm going to be honest with you because it's hard to find that in today's world. They go there and they get writers that write. I got a young lady that works on our television show, and she's a writer, and she does music. But see, that's what she does. And so if I need to get something done, I'll go and say, "Hey, I need a writer for this one here." And you can go down there and you can shop for writers like you go into the store and shopping for meat. Or you need a salad, you go get somebody who produces. But we came from an era where
you
guys were there.
Most of everything that I do comes alive right there on the spot. I don't plan what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes alive right there on the spot. Hold My Mule, for an example, came alive right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it came alive there because, I just said, let me see. When I go to talking about the mule and holding my mule, it seemed like the Lord just began to just fill my heart and fill my lips with what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write it down. It all just came as a result of the Lord. It was the Lord's doings.
Yes, Shirley, you're a gift from God, and we love you.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again.
I said you're a gift from God, and we really love you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That, That's Dorian. Now, sir, I would be remiss if I don't talk about this right quick, because you said that it was your mother. You cite your mother as a strong influence in your decision to be selfless to others. And you were a member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm a Delta.
Yes, I know right. Quite a few Deltas. You know what I'm saying? So in this one here, you committed a sizable portion of all your proceeds to your outreach ministry. Let's talk about a little bit about that, because we need outreach today that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've been doing that for years, my brother. I've been doing that for years, go on the road and I'd sing. And at one time, I was giving up 50%
mm-hmm.
of my living at one time. I can't do that anymore, but at
right.
one time, that's exactly what I was doing. And hey, you know, in spite of that, I'm grateful for my outreach ministry that blesses people.
Mm-hmm.
We did it for years. Did it for years.
Mm. And what's for those that are just listening that don't know, what is the name of your outreach?
The Shirley Sees Outreach Ministry.
Okay. And they can find that out. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get up on that, because like I said, this is real talk. One thing you said that I have, it says, you noted, you said, I cannot sweeten the Atlantic Ocean, but I can take a picture of the ocean and sweeten that.
Well, you know, I can't do everything. I cannot take one song and do what I want to do, but I can take my CD, a whole CD. Okay. And, of course, you know, one person will never be able to do it all, tell it all. I told my church this morning, you know, I used to fly all night long and get home just to preach. I don't do that anymore. And I don't do it because I can't. It is too much. There are too many preachers in the world for one person to think that they can do it all.
That's right.
Mm. Yep. Being able to know your limitations is a gift that a lot of people try to overlook.
Is.
But once you lay in flat on your back, then it's a reality check.
Amen.
Yes.
So I'm glad
but you know
said.
What?
Now, no. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I was getting ready to say something else, but you go ahead.
No, no, I want you to go there. I don't want to. No, go ahead. It's on your spirit, please.
Hmm.
Was it somebody else?
I'm this Dorian,
no.
The one you were talking to. But this Daryl you're talking to, D-Dice.
This
D-Dice
here right now. No, but I was saying some of you, even in your music, on this one here, as you go back and let's look at some of your in 1987, you know, that then you came out with the Shirley Caesar, Her Very Best. And as you're sitting down and you're deciding what songs you want on an album, or you're deciding what you want to do and how you're going to do it live or whatever, it's a whole lot to do a performance, but it's a whole lot to put this on a medium, which we would call music or a CD now, but it used to be a record, so that when people go and get it and they sit back in the privacy of their own home, that it can talk to their spirit and talk to their heart. How do you select? What is it that says, okay, this is going to be the song here on this one? And how do you, what is your selection like on those?
Well, now today, a lot of the record companies are helping you to pick it. Pick
mm-hmm.
the song that they feel is going to be the hit on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, at least when it comes to me, they don't give me as much freedom since it is my CD. But what they will do, they will have you to sit down. You write down the names of all of your songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take one and you look at that one and come all the way down. There are 11 songs on my CD that's called Fill the House. And when we sat down and we put them in order, that's where they came up on the CD. And Fill the House, please believe me, is one of the most requested songs on that. That one, Mother Emmanuel, and, of course, the song It's All Right, It's Okay.
All right.
Mm. And you have,
and of,
you're featuring, no, go ahead.
out of all the years that I've been singing, I have never been fortunate enough to have a CD that came in number one. This one debuted at number one. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
I am so excited about that.
That's what we call favor, Pastor Season.
Yes, indeed. You know what? It's when you look at all of the time you spent, Pastor, out there in the field and toiling and doing your music, going through times of lean and going through times when you weren't having it the way you could have had it, had you had been here today in this time and age doing what you did back then. Because I can't imagine. I'm still boggled by $25 for a song. But, I mean, if you look at it in retrospect and where you're at today, where you on that debuting at number one with the Fill the House and being able to work with Anthony Hamilton on that one, and then Survive This
yes.
was featuring Hezekiah Walker and working with other people that I know, they just jumped at the situation. They just like, Pastor Shirley? Oh, yes, I'm on. And I can imagine how anticipating that was for this one here. And the whole CD, I'm going to grab this one here and start playing this full-fledged on this show. Because, I mean, I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm hearing. And I know it was a journey for you to get here. So let's
but
talk
guess
about
what?
Something. Go ahead.
Guess what? Even though this is our president's last term,
mm-hmm.
I have his voice on one of my songs. Mother Emmanuel, as he calls the names of the nine fallen that got killed, his name
wow.
is on, well, his voice is
right.
on my CD,
which
is See, very important.
Right. And you know what? Not too long ago, you became one of the newest inductees to the world famous Hollywood Walk of Fame.
3 weeks ago.
Yes, it is.
In fact, it's not even quite 3 weeks. Tuesday will
dry.
Be 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not even dry
that's
yet on the cement, huh?
About.
See, that's what I'm talking
I
about.
I am
See?
So excited.
Whew.
I'm excited about that. In fact, my niece, I think, who works for the governor of the state, they're talking about lowering the flag at half mast in honor of that, because nobody in my state has ever received a Stella Award, a Dove Award, a Grammy, or have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I'm excited about that.
And then in May,
just like I won one, but you know, you're prime example to everybody.
That's
great. So much.
And in the May of this year, the National Museum of African American Music honored you with the Rhapsody and Rhythm Award in Nashville.
Yes, they did. In fact, they still
the
have my award there. So I want my award. Y'all send it to me from Nashville.
You got one coming. You know, I live in Long Beach, Pastor C. Mayor of Long Beach send you something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you
know we want to.
Dorian Edward, if you see my face, you'll know who I am because I worked a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, she's worked with a little everybody.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's Lady D. She's. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
Dorian,
I'm just saying.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Barbara Wilson.
Oh, okay, Barbara. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not Barbara,
okay.
but I worked a lot. I'm the one that brings actors and stuff. When she needs them, she'll call me. Have her prepared for the Stella Award.
Who Carolyn does?
I do.
A Barbara.
My name's Dorian Edwards.
You're Dorian, okay.
I'm Dorian. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, it's good for me to know that, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
Dorian's
much.
Been instrumental. She's been so instrumental and at the Stellar Awards. I mean, even here as the she gets the host on for the show here with me, D-Nice, a Gospel Jazz Connection. And she's working with Gerald Austin, which I know you'll be working with, doing some things with coming up. And, I mean, just a blessing to have people out there that God puts together because this is kingdom building time.
Well, you know, see, the Lord knows how to line people up. For your career, and that's what the Lord has done for me in these last 25 or 30 years. I mean, they were almost just like a chess game. But anyway, the Lord had it all set up and lined up for me, and all I had to do was just walk through the door.
That's all.
Didn't
you have
to step
do.
On nobody.
Amen.
Didn't have to mistreat anybody. God fixed it so that one day that there would be a Grammy. God fixed it so that one day that there would be a Shirley Caesar's name out there on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. God did that for me. So I'm grateful.
You're going to make me start shouting up here. Hey, Pastor C, you're going to have me shouting
he
up in here.
He did it. He did it.
Ooh, woo-hoo.
He
That's
did
what
it for
about.
Me.
Yes, he did, and he could do it for everybody else listening.
Shirley, I have a book for you, a book about my life called Trapped in Little Girl's Body, and it's on Amazon. I was abused and molested by my stepdad. He's a pastor. But I was going to give it to you when you were here with Joe LaGun. When you came.
Yes.
Yeah, but I couldn't get close to you. I had a flight to catch. So, but I have it for you. I'm going to keep it for you.
Okay, well, while you're praying, remember Joe. Remember Joe LaGun, because he's one of our legends out there. Pray for him that the Lord will totally touch his body and heal him and make him well, okay?
All right, you keep me in prayer. I'm in the hospital myself.
Uh-huh.
I have a...
Let's pray for Lee Williams, too, okay? Let's pray for Lee Williams.
Okay.
So Pastor Caesar, we got like 2 minutes left on the show, and I know you want to give your final words on whatever to those listening. But where can somebody reach you if they need to reach you? How can they do that, or your ministry and be involved? How can they do that?
Okay, Shirley Caesar, Durham, North Carolina. That's all you really need. I'm the only one here. Durham, North Carolina, or you can. Do it by C. Sanders, 3775@AOL.com. Oh yes, I can be found. I can be found. But
you own
but
have
I do
you
want
own,
to
own
tell,
have, no. Go ahead.
I want to tell all your listeners now. With these last few seconds that we've got left, I want them to go out and pick up my brand new CD. It's number one. And I want it to stay number one. So I want them to go out and pick it up. It's called Fill the House. And the song, It's All Right, It's Okay, is in that CD. The president is talking in my CD. Hezekiah Walker, who's going to be with me in my conference week after next, it's in my CD. They need to get one of the greatest CDs that I have ever recorded.
Amen. And you know what?
Hamilton is in it.
I'm going to get it, and I'm going to start playing, because we got 30 seconds on the air, and I got to wrap. But I'm going to get that. I'm going to start playing it on the air for you, Pastor Caesar. And like I said, my house is your house. Anytime you want to come on our show, you have the floor. And we look forward to seeing you here
Thank
in L.A.
You.
On the studio. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary, anointed Pastor Shirley Caesar. This is D-Nice, Gospel Jazz Connection, saying put God first and everything else will follow. I guarantee it. And we'll see you next week.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Bye guys.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Someone else could have led your people to the promised land. Someone else could have built the ark before the flood. Someone else could be standing where I am standing, singing of your love. But you, my Lord, are irreplaceable. Someone else could have slain the giant Philistine like David did. Someone else could have given birth to your holiness, holiness. But no one else could have died place above.
Irreplaceable, my heart.
Irreplaceable, you are, Jesus.
Only you.
Only you.
Irreplaceable.
No one could ever take your place.
Never found anybody like you.
You're